Okay, Chavra. So if you remember, we have a Mishnah, and the Mishnah tells us that a sukkah above 20 amos is puzzle. And we have a Gemara in Daf Beis Amud Aleph. And the Gemara gives us three reasons why sukkah above 20 amos is puzzle. Reason number one is the reason of Rabbah, that it has to be Mishlat Shaluk Ba'ena, that you have to see the Sechach, you have to be aware of the Sechach, Laman Yed Uda Rosei Fem, right? It's all beautiful, wonderful, and amazing. That's the Sheet of Rabbah. Reason number two is the Sheet of Reb Zera. Reb Zera says that you have to sit in the shade of the Sechach. If a sukkah is above 20 amos, so the shade that you'll be getting is shade of the walls, not shade of the Sechach. And reason number three is the reason of Rava, that Rava tells us that a sukkah above 20 is, by definition, considered a permanent structure, and sukkah has to be a temporary structure. These are the halachos that we learned, and everything is grand. The Gemara on Beis Amud Beis that we did last time we learned, the Gemara on Beis Amud Beis says, well, according to Rabbah, that the reason why a sukkah above 20 is non-kosher is because you don't notice the schach. So we have a eitzah, we have a way of saying that the sukkah could be kosher even above 20 amos. If you have defanos magios l'schach, if the walls reach the schach, so then the sukkah above 20 amos is going to be kosher. That's what the Gemara said last time within Rabbah. And if you remember last time, I guess I'm still like in the Chanukah mood a teeny bit, so I'll just like add one Chanukah bit. This is like the first year ever, I think, that we had our menorahs cleaned off, like right after Chanukah. This is like, I feel very, it's like when you get the sukkah down, like right after Yontif, you feel like really accomplished. But last time we learned, we had a discussion about the position of the Rabbeinu Yoel in the Torah, that Rabbeinu Yoel says that, you know what, a Chanukiah, menorah, that's above 20 amos, is going to be kosher if it is indoors. And that's based on this Gemara of Defanos Magios L'Schach. When the walls reach the Schach, it's going to be kosher even above 20. So therefore, Rabbeinu Yoel says that above 20 is going to be kosher indoors. And when the Gemara says that a Chanukiah, menorah, above 20 is non-kosher, that's talking about when it is outdoors. That's what the Rabbeinu Yoel said. And the Torah jumped up and down, he spit wood and nickels. He says, no. The Defanos Magios L'Schach is because you're following the wall up and you see the schach, but the Chanukiah is like in the middle of the room and has like no shaykhis to anything. That was the Torah's kasha. If you look in the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah over there in Tafresh Ayin Aleph, the Ramah has a different kasha, which is actually much more relevant for us. The Ramah says, one second, dude, hold it. The Ramah says, this idea of Defanos Magios L'Schach is according to reason one of the three reasons in the Gemara. Remember, we have Rabba, Reb Zera, Rava. So according to Rabba, Defanos Magios L'Schach is going to be kosher. Do I paskin like Rabba? Dun, dun, dun. Right? No, we don't. And the Darkei Moshe points out, and we'll see, when we complete the sugya, we'll see the Rif and the Rush, and like almost all the Rishonim paskin like Rava. But really, the reason why sukkah above 20 is not good is because of it becomes a diras keva. If that's the case, so the fact that you're indoors don't matter diddly squat. Because, so what? Right? That whole svara of Defanos Magios L'Schach is a svara within Rabbah, but I don't paskin like Rabbah. That's the Darkei Moshe's kasha, which is really very powerful, no? It's like, I'd say insurmountable, rather than just powerful. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. The Gemara is, 10 lines on the top? 13 lines on the top. Kaman azwa hada amarav, huna amarav. Machlokes b'she'imba ela dalar amos al dalar amos. Ava yesh b'yosi mi dalar amos afilu l'mayla mi esrim amok sheira. Right, again, the Gemara is trying to find a way that we are taking the edge off of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says a sukkah over 20 amos is non-kosher. Zuck the Gemara, yeah, That's true only if the sukkah is 4 amos by 4 amos. In our measurement, that's the rough equivalent of 7¾ feet by 7¾ feet. I don't know in your British measurements what that equals.
I can do feet.
What?
I can do feet.
You do feet also?
I do feet.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, it's random.
Totally random.
It's just a random one.
Okay, well, yeah. There you have it. Actually, a foot technically used to be the size of the King of England's foot. So in different generations, there's a different measurement for the foot. It's actually very relevant if you want to try to figure out shiurim, because you can't compare different measurements from different ages. My wife delivered a paper in Princeton when she was in graduate school on this matter, on like the measure of the biblical cubit based on different things. Whatever, it's for a different time. Okay, so the point is that Zakti Gemara, if you have a sukkah that is more than 7¾ feet by 7¾ feet, so even though it is more than 20 amos, it's going to be kosher. And the Gemara asks, well, who does that go according to? Which position? 1, 2, or 3? Rabba, Reb Zeira, or Rava? So the Gemara says, Kiman, it goes like Reb Zeira, the Amar Mishum Tzeilhu. Reb Zeira says that the reason why the sukkah over 20 amos is non-kosher is because of shade, meaning shade has to come from schach, not from the walls. V'kederevicha ika tzeil sukkah. Once it's wider, you have the tzeil sukkah. So that's what the Gemara says, version 1 over here. Let's just read on a little bit, and then we'll come back and we'll analyze it a teeny bit. Then the Gemara says, Kamad asa hamarav chanan baraba amarav. Right, the first one is Rav Huna in the name of Rav. This is Rachanan Baraba in the name of Rav. Machlokes pshena machzekas akdei roshav ruba v'shulchano. Ava machzekas yosim ichdei roshav ruba v'shulchano. Afil amaylo me'esrim amak sheira. It's basically the same thing as the previous line in the Gemara, but over here we're not using 7¾ feet by 7¾ feet. We're not using dalamos by dalamos. We're rather using the shear of 7 tfachim by 7 tfachim.
How do you know that?
How do I know that? Because machzekes rosho v'rubo v'shulchano, how large is something that holds a person's head, the majority of his body, and the table? Zakti Gemara, that is 7 tfachim by 7 tfachim. That will be commented on in the Gemara and Daf Gimel, on the Gemara and Daf Test, and a million and bazillion other places. But that is the minimum shear of a sukkah. 7 tfachim by 7 tfachim. And the Gemara says that's the measurement of Rosho Rubo v'Shulchano. If it's wider than 7 by 7 tfachim, so it can be taller than 20 amos. So the Gemara says, Kiman, who does that go like? Dilo kechad. Doesn't go like anybody. Meaning, we can't say that this goes according to Reb Zeira. Here, look at Rashi. Kiman dilo kechad. Mehanach dilo el, de mefarshi time ad esumama, di misham mishlat eina, the shear of b'shira di yosim ichte roshav rubav shochano lo shalta. V'tzeil nami lecha, u'mechitzos keva nami baya. The Gemara basically says, tzeil nami lecha, that we know. The Metzias is that if a sukkah, let's say, is 8 tfachim by 8 tfachim, and it's more than 20 amos tall, you still do not have shade of the sukkah, you still only have shade of the walls. Right? We could suggest that if it's more than 4 amos by 4 amos, it's going to be kosher above 20 amos according to Reb Zeira, because apparently that's the Metzias. Right? Apparently they have like shade experts, and the shade experts decide that's what it is. But if it's 8 tfachim by 8 tfachim, so clearly you're not getting shade from the schach if it's over 20. That's obvious. So therefore, it's the like echad, therefore it doesn't go according to anyone. Hey, we'll pause over here and then we'll try to analyze this. Good? So first thing I want to analyze is a Rashi. I'll work backwards. The last Marimakom I gave out is what we'll do first. Rosho Verubo, Zakt Rashi. Right, again, Rosh Avruba means the head and the body. The head and the body. Rashi writes, Derech Su'udasan Behesei Bahaisa Almitos. The way they used to eat was reclining on beds. It's like Pesach. No? They would eat reclining on beds. Umesuben Altsad Simolam. They'd recline on their left. Ve'ein Ochlen Zekufin. They don't eat standing up. Ve'yoshvin Kamonu. They don't eat in a erect sitting position the way we eat. Therefore, Lafika Chutzrach Lomar Rosho Verubo. Lafuke Ketana Sherosho Nichnasba Vishochano Velo Rubo. Or Rosho Verubo Velo Shochano. Since people would eat in a reclining way, therefore we have to say Rosho Verubo Vishochano. If the sukkah is too small, so maybe your head will fit in and the table, but your body won't. Or your head and your body, but not the table. So therefore, in order to have your head, the body, and the table, it's got to be at least 7x7. Now, according to Rashi, why do I need 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim in the sukkah?
To exclude a katan.
To exclude what?
A katan.
A katan?
To exclude
a small sukkah. Right. How come a sukkah can't be too small? So Rashi is saying, because if it's too small, since you'll be reclining, so you won't be able to have your entire head and body inside the sukkah.
Like you won't be able to have your seder.
You won't be able to have, in other words, you could have two of the three things, you can't have all three. Head, body, table. Right? Head means I'm reclining this way. Body is my body. Table is my table. I can't have all three unless it's at least 7x7. That's what Rashi is saying. Now, this, of course, raises a question, which is one could argue, and Rashi is already noting, that they used to sit in a reclining position. We don't do that anymore. So that might leave us the possibility that maybe Bizman Hazeh, a sukkah, could be smaller than 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. Because they only needed 7x7 because they'd sit like this, no? But we sit like this, so maybe we don't need 7x7. And I gave you on the Makoros, like all the other Rishonim who addressed this issue, the Rush, for example, they don't say anything about reclining. This idea of reclining is, to the best of my knowledge, exclusively found in Rashi. In that Russian Simin Aleph, it begins like a Daf Gimel Amid Aleph. It's like in the middle of Simin Aleph, like in a totally random place. So the Rush just writes, Tzricha shetei machsekes rosh av rubo v'shulchano, haynu zayin tfachin na zayin tfachim. The gavra ba'amsa yosef, a person sits in an amma. People are in amma, no? V'shulchano tefach, kede isa birushalmi. Kama kidei shulchan tefach. An ama is 6 tefachim, no? The table is 1 tefach. So that's how you get 7. That's what the Rush writes. I get 7 because people are an ama. That, and the table is another tefach. An ama equals 6 tefachim. How I know this? You have to wait till daf hey, and we'll learn that. How we know that an am equals 6 tefachim. But basically, an am equals 6 tefachim. If a person is 6 and the table is 1, that gives us 7. The Rush never writes anything about reclining. And therefore, for the Rush, it would seem pretty obvious that this din is true even Bizman Hazeh. No?
I don't understand how it makes a difference that a person is 6 tefachim.
So, what does it mean a person is 6 tefachim? So, I think, here, let's give another example in halacha. The shear of a mikvah is 40 sa'ah, right? How do you get 40 sa'ah? So, the Gemara says it's amma al amma barum gimo amos. People are 1 amma by 1 amma, like a box, right? Is that true? I don't know. People are 1 amma by 1 amma. And Barum Gimel Amos, and people can be 3 Amos tall, which let's say is around 5.5 feet, which is a relatively normal height. 1 Amma by 1 Amma is a little, how do we say, on the Zaftic side of sin, of things, but okay, Vaskan Mintan, right? That's basically, but, so a person is an Amma by an Amma, so that's 6 Tfachim for the person this way. And then the person needs a table, so that's a 7th Tefach. But Rashi isn't saying that, no? Rashi is saying that I need 7 Tfachim because I am reclining, so there's my head, there's my body, and there's my table. And that's why I need 7 Tfachim to get all of them in. None of the other Rishonim quote this idea of the reclining as being significant. The Magen Avraham in Siman Tofresh Lamed Dalet Sifkat and Aleph, the Magen Avraham basically was sensitive to Rashi, and the Magen Avraham just like throws it out. He says, yeah, and even Bisman has that you need 7 Tfachim by 7 Tfachim, and he says, okay. Now, it is possible, however, to read the Rashi in a slightly different way than we're reading it, which is as follows. If I am, we're talking about head, I feel like nursery school, head, body, table, toes, right? But head and body, presumably the head doesn't add anything that the body didn't have. If I'm sitting, so my body, I don't care about the height, because the height could even be until 20 amos. All I care about is the length and the width of the sukkah. So my head doesn't contribute anything to the length and the width, no? So head isn't necessary. Why do I have to say rosho virubo? So it's entirely possible, and I saw Rabbi Yoshev makes this comment in his notes on the Gemara. It's entirely possible that what Rashi is getting at when he says head and body is just a way of answering that question. Why do you need head? Why don't I just say rubo v'shulchano? I need the majority of the body. The majority of the body, I guess, going this way, right? Why do I need rosho? The head doesn't add anything. Oh, I'll tell you why, says Rashi. If I'm leaning this way, so there's rosho, and then rubo, so then I need to have all of, I need to have the full 7 tefachim for that reason. That's his take on the Rashi. Again, according to this, of course, the Magen Avraham's question is, again, do I need a bizman hazeh? Again, I think we'd still have that same question, but it's an easier read of Rashi. I understand why Rashi has to add this idea of Heseba. Rashi's adding it just to explain why you need Rosho Verubo. Why you need the head to be listed separately than the rest of the body. Tanya, you seem perplexed.
Well, my Chavrusa noticed that in the Mishnah, with Machlokas of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, I should let my professor speak, that it didn't have Shulchanah, but it said Rosho Verubo.
Right. In other words, that Mishnah Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about whether a person will be Nigrar Achar Shulchanah, right? Whether
hanging within
the Shulchan's in the bias.
In that context, you needed Rosho, and it's kind of like, well, then they use the Lashon of the...
Oh, you're saying that you need rosho. You're saying it's like a borrowed expression.
Yeah.
That over there we say head because we're worried that like you'll lean over to eat the spaghetti and you'll end up in the house or something. Again, it certainly is possible. But I mean, what we're suggesting is just like we're just offering a suggestion for this interesting idea that Rashi mentions that people used to eat in a reclined sort of way. Why Rashi needs that, I don't know. Perhaps it's based on that. Okay, Rachel, you okay?
Yeah.
Excellent. Zakt Tosfos. Right, I want to do this Tosfos. Yesh ba yoseh midalat amos afil amalo me'ezer miskshera. Tosfos, right? So the basof masik, the Rav Huna Savar, Me rosho v'rubo v'shulchano ad dalet amos pligi, yoser mi dalet amos k'sheira. Right? In other words, the Gemara is going to suggest that the dispute between version 1 over here, between the Rav Huna version and what we call like the Rav Dimi version or whatever it is, as to whether we're dealing with 4 amos by 4 amos or 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, at first the Gemara suggests that they are disagreeing as to the minimum size of a sukkah, and then the Gemara rejects that. So Tosa says, the end of the Gemara will say that everybody holds a sukkah that's more than dal amos is going to be kosher, even though it is more than 20 amos tall. V'teima, v'chinach sheberachva mashehu yeser midal amos and haisa gavoha me esrim afilu tuva. Havade inkan tzel sukkah. Tosa is asking a very simple question. So let's say I have a sukkah that's 4.1 amos. And then it is 14,000 amos tall. Is that going to be kosher? Right? It's inconceivable. It can't be. That's Isis' question. Just because it's a little wider than... Right, the whole rationale behind Reb Zera is that you have to get shade from the schach, not shade from the walls. Okay. That's great. So now I have 4.1 amos, right? That's like slightly bigger than this table, right? We'll add an inch, right? It's not reasonable. That's Tysus' kasha. So Tysus answers, V'yesh lomar, D'la olam tzarech harochav l'fi hagova l'fi cheshbon dalet amos la'esrem. Who wants to explain Tysus' answer to me?
I thought it was like a ratio.
Yeah.
Good. It is a ratio. Tosis is answering that, you know what, when we say 20 amos tall, 20 amos tall is talking about a sukkah that's 4 amos wide. So again, I learned math in high school, that would be 1 to 5, right? And you always need that ratio of 1 to 5. So if it's 4.1, it can't be 14,000 amos tall. Right? Again, you'd have to do the math, but it would be 20.5 or something. Right? That's basically what emerges from Tysus. Now, there is a school of thought out there. Rabbi Akiva Eger sends you to Truvin the Tashbates. In the Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Akiva Eger, he says, look in the Truvin the Tashbates. And the Maharsha says the same thing over here. And they are quoted by the Aruch Laner. And what they are saying is that this ratio is the halachic ratio of a sukkah. So let's say I have a sukkah that is narrower than 4 amos by 4 amos. So the sukkah could not be, let's say, 18 amos tall. Let's say I have a sukkah that's 3 amos by 3 amos. It couldn't be 18 amos tall because I need that ratio of 1 to 4. And if it's more than 1 to 4, right? 1 to 4, 1 to 5, what do we say? It's 1 to 5, right? If it's more than 1, so if I have 3 amos, so 1 to 5 would give me only 15 amos as the height. If I have 18 amos, it would be puzzle. Does this ratio thing, the way the Maharsha understands it, is the halachic definition of tzeil sukkah versus tzeil schach. And if it's not 1 to 5, so then whether it's taller than 20, shorter than 20, it doesn't matter. Right? Okay, it's a nice explanation. It sounds reasonable that 1 to 5 is the halachic ratio. But what's the problem with it?
It's really not the pashtus of how that whole Gemara.
Okay, right? So it's not the pashtus, and whether it works in Mitzvahs or not is like, we're going to forget reality. We are doing suspended reality. Rachel, you want to say something?
No, we were just...
I mean, in that, that's safer than I like the Mirror Rosh Hashiva, Oya Baruch, Finkel. So he says he spoke to some experts in shade. I have no idea how you get such a position to be like a shade expert, but unless you're a demon, I don't know. But so he said that he spoke to some experts in shade, and they said that this ratio actually is a correct ratio at the equator during the month of Tammuz. No idea. Why that would therefore be true everywhere else in the world is interesting, but it could be the Chazal were koveya this, again, I don't know. But the problem is, the Mishnah makes a categorical statement, a sukkah over 20 amos is puzzle. That ain't true! Because sometimes a sukkah under 20 amos is puzzle, sometimes a sukkah over 20 amos is kasher. Like, dude, why are you writing it like this? Right? It's a really big problem. And that's really what the Aruch Lanier is bothered by. And the Aruch Lanier, which you sent around, right, the Aruch Lanier is bothered by this question, how come we're saying that a sukkah over 20, how come we're giving 20 as the measurement, it should not be true? It's not true. So the Aruch Lanier at first suggests that maybe the standard sukkah is 4 amos by 4 amos. And therefore, the Mishnah is telling us a height of 20 based on the standard size. Okay, it's a nice idea, but like, that's not true. There's no such thing, again, ad hayom hazeh, there's no such thing as a standard size of a sukkah. Like, it depends where you are, how large your family is, how much space you have. There's no such thing as a standard size of a sukkah, dalet amos by dalet amos. It doesn't make sense. Rather, the Aruch Lanier suggests that since there's a dispute in the Gemara as to the minimum length and width of a sukkah, and according to one of the opinions, the minimum length and width of a sukkah is 4 amos by 4 amos. So the Mishnah decides to give us a shear of 20 amos so that it will be kosher according to that larger shear of the minimum length and width. We want now, right, what the Aruch Lanier is saying, I think, is that you know what, there's a machlokas. Our Gemara has a machlokas. Is the minimum size of sukkah 7 tfachim or 4 amos? So the shear of 4 amos is the larger shear of the minimum. That's called the bigger chumrah. So we give you the measurement of 20 amos to accommodate that shita. That's his suggestion. It's interesting, but it's a little bit weird that the Mishnah would give a number based on something that we hadn't learned yet. No?
Even it hadn't learned yet.
Right? The Mishnah is like giving us a number. Again, I'm not sure what to do with it. I think the question is far superior to the answer. Right? Especially if the Maharsha is correct. That the Mishnah knows Hebrew. It could have written that a sukkah that doesn't have a ratio of 1 to 5 is puzzle. That's what it should really say.
But whatever version, so we have three versions of what Rav actually taught, Rav is really interested in taking the Mishnah out of its literal meaning. So whether we go with this,
correct,
with Hunas, or we go with Rav Yoshi, or we go with one,
I mean, we're trying to find some way of making a sukkah kosher over 20, but the problem with this answer, though, is that 20 itself is arbitrary, because the sukkah can be puzzle under 20 as well. Right? In other words, without this answer, I would say, okay, so there's a certain halacha of 20, and we're trying to pull at the strings and to say, oh, sometimes you have more than 20. But if there's no din of 20,
right,
so it just, it really is a problem. There's no such thing as 20 amos. Inami, second answer of Tosis. Inami kimluhu l'rabbonan dafilo begova elef. Yeah. You can have a sukkah that's 4.1 by 4.1, and it is as tall as the Empire State Building, and it is still going to be kosher. Because Kim Lahula Rabban, and the rabbis have a tradition that there is going to be Tseo Schach Purta, a tiny drop of shade. You're right. Right, you're right. The majority of the shade maybe is coming from the walls. But once you're over that threshold of four amos, there's going to be a tiny, tiny bit of shade that comes from the schach, and that's all I need. It's almost like paraduma water. Just sprinkle a tiny drop of shade, and you machshir everything. Right? That's what Tosfos is saying. And Tosfos says, and we see a similar idea in the Gemara in Yoma, that the shear of Achila on Yom HaKippurim, usually the shear of Achila B'chol HaTorah Kulo is a kezayis. On Yom HaKippurim, the shear of Achila is a koseves hagazas, the size of a fig. And the Gemara says that the reason for that is because the Torah says, Te'anu es nafsho seichem, you should afflict yourself, and only a koseves hagasa, only a fig is miyas v'daite. If I eat a kezayis, it doesn't satiate me. Miyas v'daite, you have to eat a full fig. Okay, zozayin. But 1 second, like different people get satiated different amounts. Og Melech HaBoshan probably ate a larger meal than like some little puny guy, right? So Taisa says, yeah, but it's miyas v'daita a teeny bit. So here also, in other words, once you have this idea that it's a teeny miyas v'daita, so I could also have this idea it's a teeny bit of tseo schach. Okay, that's Taisa. Now, effectively, version 1 of Tosis is saying that it's only kosher when you have the proportion. Version 2 of Tosis is saying that once you are more than the minimum size of 4 amis by 4 amis, you could have a sukkah even as high as you want. It's still going to be kosher because you have a tiny drop of shade. This second answer of Tosis requires you to pull out your hair. Because we saw on Daf Beis Amud Aleph that the last Rashi in the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph, Shechamosa Meruba Mitzilasa. So Rashi writes, if I have more sun than shade, such a sukkah is possible, because the shade is bittul to the sun. There's a concept of bittul, right? Since more sun exists than shade, so that tiny bit of shade that exists is insignificant, we ignore it, doesn't happen. So if that's the case, how can Taisa say, Tseo Porta? Whoopee-doo, right? Like, it's all a bottle. It makes no sense. How could a tiny drop of shade, let's say the Metzius is correct, right? Let's go with it. We'll suspend our reality, right? So there is a tiny drop of shade that comes, because once it's 4.1, even a million feet high, a teeny drop of shade. Whoopee! But that teeny drop of shade should be extremely insignificant, and it should be totally bittul, because Rashi on Beis Amud Aleph tells me that there's this concept of bittul by shade. Once it's bittul, so then how on earth could this help? And that's already a very strong kasha. Wow. So did any of you have a chance to look at the Emek Bracha?
We did.
Okay. So who wants to tell me that? Does anyone know who the Emek Bracha was?
Yeah.
Rabbi Aryeh Primarchik. And who was he? Rabbi Aryeh Primarchik was a fascinating figure. You know, the Chazon Ish was really interesting because traditionally the new Yishuv, as it were, was the Jews outside of Yerushalayim, or outside the Yerushalayim environs, and they were traditionally more modern. So like Rav Kook, right, was the Rav of Yafo. Yafo is Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv Yafo. And that's where the modern people lived. And the Haredim, for lack of a better term, not that Rav Kook was so not Haredi, but the Haredim, for lack of a better term, were all around Yerushalayim. When the Chazon Ish moved to Eretz Yisrael, he moved to the new Yishuv. And he moved to Bnei Brak. Bnei Brak did not have a paved road when he went. The Chazon Ish really established Haredi Eretz Yisrael outside of Yerushalayim. It's really an amazing thing. And he had very few Talmidim. Right? The Chazon Ish, I get the impression, if you read Benny Brown's book about the Chazon Ish, you get this impression also, that he, I don't know how to say this nicely, so I'll just say it any way I want to. He didn't like people so much. There's a certain type of Talmud Chacham. Shaul Lieberman was like this. Shaul Lieberman was offered a job here in Yeshiva, and he didn't take it because he was worried he'd have to interact with students too much and he wouldn't have time for his own learning. Right? There's a certain type of personality that they like to learn. And I get the impression the Chazon Ish was like that. The Chazon Ish had a few people who hung around with him, though. One of them was Rabbi Aryeh Pomarchuk. He's like a kid. He died at age 37, which is pretty young. And he wrote this amazing, he wrote two amazing Sfarim. One's called the Torah Zeraim. If you want to learn Mishnah Yisra'im Be'iyun, so the Torah Yisra'im is like the Lamdash Sefer on it. And the other is the Sefer Emek Bracha. The reason why I like the Sefer so much is because the pieces are short. And that's a big advantage, because reading a lot is hard. Okay, so that's the introduction who Rabbi Pomarchuk was. So now you tell me what he said.
I think what he said was that it's only sun that bottles shade.
Right.
Shade doesn't bottle shade.
Excellent.
So in this case, what is the if you have pasul tzel and kasher tzel, that wouldn't bottle. So the kasher tzel, so if you have a tiny, 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 tiny drop of kasher tzel from the schach, even though there's tons and tons and tons of shade from the walls, it won't be bottled.
Shade doesn't pass on shade. Shade can't be mevatel shade. It's almost like a concept in Yerideya that min bimino is not batel. Right? If I have two things, right? If I have, let's say, treif meat, and it falls into a pot that has liquid in it, so it could be batel. They are two different flavors. That's min b'she'eno mino. Min b'mino is not batel. Now, in Yerideya, the reason why min b'mino is not batel is because the tam ends up being stronger. Let's say I have a treif steak and a kosher steak. So the treif steak just makes the steaky taste steakier, right? So it can't be batel because bittel means there's less of it. Rabbi Pomarchuk is applying that idea. I think it's actually quite, it's a nice take. And he says, no, min b'mino is not going to be batel, and therefore, even though Rashi on Beis Amud Aleph says that shade is batel, but shade is going to be batel only to sun, because that's min b'she'eno mino. But min b'mino, the shade is not going to be batel. That's a nice take on the Tosfos. But there's another way of learning the Tosfos entirely, which, again, in the back of the Gemaras, I mean, there's something called the Goyon Maharsha. Usually it's like right after, in my Gemara it's on page 138, it's like right before the Maharsha. You have Reb Shlomo Eger, the Goyon Maharsha. So the Goyim Mashon Beis Amud Beis on our Tosfos, he writes, when we say that there's Tzeil Schach Porta, he writes Ayin Baharan, the Kosev I Efshar Shelo Yimait Chom Hashemesh Ktsas. What he is saying is like this: when we say that there's a little bit of shade, I'm not talking about a little bit of shade quantitatively. But what I mean is qualitatively. You see, there are degrees of darkness on this world. And sometimes, you're right, I'm getting shade from the walls, not from the schach. But the schach is making it darker than it would be if I only had the walls. And Tzeil Schach Porta, according to the Gilyan Maharsha's take, the Shlomo Eger's take, means that now the sukkah is darker than it would have been otherwise. Anything that makes a sukkah darker has the halacha of shade. Reb Velvel Soloveitchik famously commented, again, you have to be like a little bit of a warped brisker to think of this. So someone asked him, maybe it was on Purim, I don't know, someone asked him, can you have schach made out of glass? What do you mean? Like, there's no shade. So Rav Elbel says, no, yes, there is shade. It's a tiny bit darker than it would be otherwise. If you just have pure sunlight, gewaldic, pure sunlight. Now I have glass on top. Right? I have a skylight. Right? It's a little bit darker than it would be outside. And all you need is tzeil, schach, purta. All you need is to make it a tiny drop darker.
Like the kind of the idea of if it's in a valley.
So, mate, so the Gemara had the idea if it's in the valley. So what? How could it be? So the Gemara said, "Oh, forget about the valley, right? Like just ignore it, suspend reality."
But this would answer that question.
It could be, right? In other words, this would be a way of saying yes, even though it's in the valley, but you still are getting some shade from the schach. Yeah, it's interesting though. That's a very good ha'ara. That the Gemara didn't say that.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Oh. Some suggest that this pshat is actually more correct within Tosfos. By the way, according to this pshat, we don't have any contradiction between what Rashi said, shade being batal or not, because we're just saying it adds more shade. But the way Tosfos phrases it is, inami kim luhu l'rabanan. Kim lehu l'rabbanan means that the rabbis have a tradition. If the issue is that quantitatively I get a tiny bit of shade, like the way we understood at the beginning, like the Emek Bracha, so you don't have to say kim lehu l'rabbanan. You don't have to say that the rabbis have a tradition. You need a tradition in the sense of, you know what, I'm not really measuring the degrees of darkness. Right? You need a tradition that, oh, a tiny bit, even though it's a million feet tall, a tiny bit of extra of schach will make it somewhat darker. Okay. Just to conclude, like it's getting late, so I want to just conclude with like two brief ha'aros. There are two answers in the Tosfos, and they disagree fundamentally. Answer one, according to Tosfos, says that you have this ratio of wall to height, right? That's or of width to height, that's an absolute ratio. Answer two is saying, no, you could have a sukkah extremely tall once it's more than four amos. You get an impression that Rashi holds like answer two in Tosfos. Let's just look at the Rashi, Dir Maskel, Neima Behechsher Sukkah. When the Gemara asks, maybe they're disagreeing about the amount of a Hechsher Sukkah. So Rashi writes, Be'arko Baruch Ba'pligi. The tarvayu isu dechi pligi rabbanon besukam tzumtzemes mishir hechsher orech sukkah. They both agree that the dispute is the minimum size of a sukkah. Ubitvei miha machshiri afilu hi gavoha. Rashi has a line that if it's bigger than the minimum, they are going to be machshir even if it's tall. You get an impression from Rashi that he's agreeing with answer two of Tosfos. That if it's a tiny bit bigger than the minimum, it will be kosher even if it is extremely tall. Right, that's the impression that you get from Rashi. There might be another Rashi in Beis Amud Aleph that gives us the same impression that Rashi agrees with the answer to in Tosfos, but we'll have to break over here just because of the time. But again, I think this I really like the Emek Bracha's answer. I think the Emek Bracha's answer is really very beautiful, but it's entirely possible that Tosfos means something else entirely. Tosfos means qualitative shade as opposed to quantitative shade. Okay, Chevra? So again, so next week we won't meet in the Mirtz Hashem. 2 weeks from now, we'll try to meet somewhere. Okay. Have a good night.
Thank you.